You would turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, right after Ruth, right before 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel. While you're turning, I know that most of you are familiar with a woman in the Bible by the name of Hannah. Many of you are familiar with Hannah's prayer. Some call it Hannah's song. It's one of the most referenced passages in all the scripture that have to do in proving the sovereignty of God. Yet I'm telling you that Hannah in her prayer reveals much, much more than just proof of God's sovereignty. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, who was Hannah? She was a barren woman. Look at verse 2 here of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2. She was a barren woman. And he, Elkanah, had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Hannah was barren. There was no life in her womb. Her womb was dead. She was incapable of producing life. If you're without Christ, dear friend, you're spiritually barren. You're spiritually dead. There's no life within you. You're incapable of producing life in you. The womb of your soul is dead. Hannah was a barren woman. To be spiritually barren is to be dead in sin. To be spiritually barren is to be without Christ. It's to have no hope. It's to be without God in this world. Hannah was the barren wife. But, second point, she was loved by her husband. Look at verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. Now, what this is talking about, this was a time of the reaping of the fruits of the earth. It was harvest time, the gathering of their crops. And this man, who was a godly man, and his family every year would go to Shiloh. You can read these and read this account in here in this chapter. They would go to Shiloh. Shiloh was where the temple of God was. Shiloh was where the priest of God was. And they would come and they would offer their bounty to God as a peace offering. And Elkanah, God, his name means God the zealous. It means the zeal of God. I think he very could, in this passage of scripture, picture God, picture the our God and Savior. And he owned it all. It all belonged to him. And he gave, it says, Peninnah, his wife, a portion. He gave his sons and daughters a portion. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. And that's the third point. Her husband gave her a double portion. Look at verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy, and that word simply means double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now who was Hannah? Well, we've seen she's a barren woman. She's a barren bride. She was loved by her husband. He gave her a double portion. Child of God, does that sound like someone you know? The one thing in life that Hannah wanted most, she couldn't produce. She wanted life within her. She wanted a son. Spiritually speaking, I ask you, is that what you want? Do you want life within you? Do you want God's son? He is a double portion, I can assure you that. Because in him our sin is taken and his righteousness is given. Only God the zealous one can give Christ to you. Fourth thing I want you to see here is that Hannah had a great adversary. Look at verse 6. And her adversary, which just so happens to be Peninnah, the other wife, also provoked, and that word, that's a strong word. It means troubled and grieved and teased and taunted. Peninnah provoked Hannah to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Her adversary troubled her, grieved her, teased and tormented her. Child of God, this world will hate you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, the Lord Jesus said. Friends, Satan seeks to devour you. The Lord Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I prayed that your faith fail you not. The scripture tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. We've got adversaries. Your sin. Your sin seeks to forever damn you, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Now, in verse 7, we see that year after year, Elkanah went up to Shiloh. He took his family with him. He gave a portion to them all, and he gave a double portion to Hannah. And in jealousy, Peninnah provoked Hannah, and Hannah wept and did not eat. She was heartbroken. And for time's sake, let me move you quickly through what happened next. Elkanah asked Hannah why she cried, asked her why she didn't eat. He asked her why her heart was grieved. Heartbroken, Hannah wept as she prayed. Well, what was Hannah's greatest desire? It was that the Lord would give her life within. It was that God would give her a son. She vowed that if God gave her a son, that she would dedicate him to the Lord, that she would see to it that he would serve the Lord all the days of his life. And in verse 13, we see that Hannah spoke these things in her heart. You know, that's the kind of prayers God answers, those from the heart. In the heart, from the heart, to the heart of God. Those are the prayers that God answers. Only her lips moved, we see. Sinners don't have to holler and hoop to get God's attention. God hears the words of a sinner's heart that cry out unto him. And Eli the priest saw Hannah, and he thought she was drunk. Look at verse 14. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Oh, friends, if you ever see your need of Christ, if you ever see that you're barren, that there's no life within, if God ever gives you the desire for his son, you'll cry from your heart. Look at verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went on her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And do you know what? The Lord heard her prayer. Isn't that wonderful? God hears the prayers of penitent sinners. The Lord hears prayers that come from the heart. And God granted her life within. She conceived and gave birth to a son, and she called his name Samuel. That means asked of the Lord. Lost sinner, this is the way to Christ. Those who seek him this way find him. And they brought the child Samuel to Eli the priest, and in verse 27, Hannah said, For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given him my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And Eli worshipped the Lord there. It says here that Eli worshipped the Lord there. Did you notice that? You know, this was an answer to his prayer too. He had said, May the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Oh, I'm telling you, if you desire Christ, if you desire him as your substitute, your Savior, I pray that the Lord grant you your petition. And if he does, I'll rejoice with you. And it was then, after all these things, that Hannah sung that glorifying song to her great God. And this is what I want you to see for just a few minutes this morning. When God gives the life of the Son within, the saved sinner is going to learn some things about God. They're going to learn some things that Hannah knew. They're going to learn what Hannah learned. Now, Hannah was a woman who knew God. She was one who knew who God was. He's the Almighty God. She knew how God was. He's sovereign and He's omnipotent. She knew these things because God had revealed them to her. If you and I ever realize these things, it'll be because God revealed them. So for a few minutes, let's look closely and see what Hannah knew. Let's see if we know the same things. Let's look closely and see how Hannah felt. Maybe you have experienced the same grace Hannah did. Let's look closely and see what Hannah said. When we're finished, I want you to ask yourself, is this your profession of God and Christ? Is it the same as her? So, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. This is the song, this is the prayer. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." Now, once sorrowful and sad, now Hannah says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." Does your heart rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ? Hannah says, "Mine horn is exalted in the Lord." Once her head hung low, now her head's raised to blow the trumpet of praise. Once she was crying and quiet, now her mouth is enlarged over her enemies. Now her mouth is not loud against her enemies. Her rejoicing and praise is heard over her enemies. Why is she rejoicing? The same reason that every believer does. She said, "Lord, I rejoice in thy salvation." Do you rejoice in the salvation of God? Oh, if you're one of His, you will. Hannah knew that salvation was of the Lord. Do you know that salvation's of the Lord? If God saved you, you know it to be true. How did Hannah know this? Well, Hannah was taught of God. All the elect are taught of God. That's what the scriptures say. It's written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." What does God teach saved sinners? That's a good question. Look at verse 2. The first thing God teaches a believing sinner is this: there's none holy as the Lord. God's going to show the saved sinner that He's holy. There's none holy as the Lord. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Exodus 15:11. What else was Hannah taught? She was taught that there's none beside Him. She said, "There's none beside Him. He's the only holy and true God." God says, "I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me," Isaiah 45. "There is no rock like our God." Do you see that? "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in Him," Psalm 92:15. Look at verse 3. "The true child of God will save, talk no more exceeding proudly." When you see who God is, when you see how holy He is, when you see how unholy you are, you won't talk proudly. The child of God don't talk proudly. If he does, he changes his tune real quick. You see, "For God resisteth the proud," Peter said, "and a proud look tops the list of the seven things that God hates," Proverbs 6:17. Look what else she says. "Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth." Hannah says, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge." How did she know that? The Lord revealed it to her. Now, how do believers grow? They grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Our Lord is the God of knowledge that causes us to grow in grace. Notice what else she says. She says, "By Him, actions are weighed." They're measured. They're judged. Christ Jesus is the judge of all things, for he hath committed all judgment unto his Son. John 5:22. Look at verse 4. Hannah was taught that salvation is by grace and not by works. Have you been taught that? Hannah says, the bows of mighty men are broken. Friends, we are broken men and women with broken weapons. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Fallen man thinks himself to be mighty, but he's nothing but a broken sinner with a broken bow. One who must depend totally on God for everything that he needs to be saved, to provide everything that God requires of him. And that's why we read next here, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. Why? Because it's not by works of righteousness that you or I have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We stumble in our self-righteousness, but we're girded with strength according to his mercy. Isn't that beautiful? Look at verse 5. Now I'm telling you, this woman knew God. Do you know this God? She said, those that are full hire out themselves for bread. But I'm telling you, this is talking about much more than just a rich man being brought into poverty. This is talking about those who think themselves to be rich, spiritually rich. This is speaking of those who are trusting in a work of righteousness that they do in order to be saved. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't trust in a work of righteousness you do, because your righteousness is filthy rags. Those who are full of themselves hire themselves out for bread. They've sold themselves out. They're having to now work for their bread, but it's not the living bread. Are you working for the bread of life? It can't be obtained by working. It's given by grace and the mercy of God. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 7, we looked at it not long ago. God says, you have offered polluted bread upon my altar. Any work of ours that we offer is polluted bread. Read on, verse 5. Those that were hungry ceased to be hungry. My dad knew a man that had nothing, just dirt poor. Lived that way all of his life. And my dad was a welder, and they built drag lines for surface mining. And this guy came up with something. I don't remember now what it was, but it was something used on a drag line. Overnight, he became a millionaire. I mean, just like that. My dad said that he was lucky, but God was behind it all. Hannah's talking about much, much more here than just a poor man becoming rich. This is talking about those who are poor in spirit. Are you poor in spirit? They shall cease to be hungry. You know why? For theirs is the kingdom of God. We saw that in our study of the Beatitudes. Those who are hungry. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you? You're blessed if you do, or you shall be filled. Your hunger will cease. That's what Hannah's talking about. Read on. So that the barren hath borne seven. The first thing that came to my mind is, he that hath the son hath life. And then she said, she that hath many children is waxed feeble. And the first thing that came to my mind was, he that hath not the son hath not life. Hannah knew who had made her barren, and Hannah knew who had made her fruitful. Do you know? Do you know who gives sinners life? Look at verse 6. Hannah said, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. There'd be some that disagree with that. Satan kills, God makes alive. God gives life, Satan destroys men's life. No, God gives life and God takes life. God ordains our birth, and it's by his appointment the death comes. God fills our lungs. He gives us breath. And when He gives us the last breath, we're done breathing. The Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. Life and death is His prerogative. The scriptures say the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns the heart however He wills. I'm telling you, if the heart beats in rhythm, it's God's doing. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with something called AFib. It's an irregular heartbeat. But I'm telling you, if a heart beats out of rhythm, it's God's doing. Why? Because even the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. He turns it how He wills and pleases. And if the heart stops beating, it's God's doing. The Lord kills and makes alive. Is that something you know? But hear me when I say that this also applies in a spiritual sense. The Lord kills men and women by bringing them to the end of themselves. Wasn't that the case with you who believe? Paul said, "For I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." When Paul saw the law at a distance, he thought that he kept it. But it had not yet been revealed in his heart. And when the commandment came in power, when God showed him that he was guilty. Paul, do you remember when God showed you were guilty? He said, "Sin revived and I died." The law showed him that he was dead in trespasses and sin. Has the law shown you that? God showed him that he was guilty. The Lord showed him he was dead. And I'm telling you, He's going to kill you before He makes you alive. You're not going to trust in anything that you do. You're going to die to that. And that's the gospel. He'll make you dead indeed unto sin so that you can see that you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:11. Read on. "The Lord bringeth down to the grave." Lord brought Lazarus down to the grave, didn't He? Martha said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. If you'd been here, he would still be alive. Since you weren't here, he's dead. The Lord bringeth down to the grave." And the Lord Jesus looked at her and He said, "Your brother will live again." And she said, I know, Lord. I know that He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And He looked in her eyes and He said, "Martha, do you know who's standing before you?" He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." It's the Lord that bringeth down to the grave. And it's the Lord that bringeth up. Concerning Lazarus, our Lord asked a simple question. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And when our Lord got to that tomb, He made a simple request. He said, "Take away the stone." Martha said, "Lord, don't do that. He's been dead 4 days by now. He stinks." And Jesus said unto her, He said, "Didn't I tell you that if you would just believe that you'd see the glory of God?" Oh, the only smell that came from Lazarus' tomb was that sweet smelling savor of life unto life. And who's sufficient for these things? The apostle asked after that statement. Who's sufficient for these things? Oh, I'm telling you, friends. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever thank the Lord for something before He does it for you? Most of the time we thank Him afterwards. But our Lord did. He said there, before He called Lazarus from the tomb, He said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. I know You always hear me." Friends, if you belong to Christ, God always hears you. He always hears you. And the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the scriptures say, he that was dead came forth immediately. Do you know why Lazarus came forth? Because the Lord brings down to the grave and the Lord lifteth up. That's why. That's why. No other reason. And I'm telling you, when the day comes, when they lay me in the grave, know that I was buried believing that He would raise me up again. Because my hope is not in anything that I've done, but in what Christ did for me. And I have a good hope because of that. Don't you have a good hope, child of God? Our hope's in Christ, not in works of righteousness that we do. Oh my, verse 7, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. The Lord bringeth low and lifteth up. Who does? The Lord does. Do you believe that? Hannah knew the God of this Bible. Hannah knew who was in charge of this world. Hannah knew who was working all things together for her good. Do you? Do you? Is this the God you know? Look at verse 8. It doesn't stop here. The Lord raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. How is a bankrupt sinner raised out of the dust? God raised him. How's a mercy beggar lifted out of the dunghill? God lifted him. How is a peasant set among princes? God sets him there. How do sinners inherit the throne of glory? They're made to. Made to. God made them. Oh, salvations of the Lord. How do all these things come to pass? She tells us right here. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. All things. All things. How far can you take that? Just as far as you can. All things. All things. Hannah knew who God was. She knew that God made all things come to pass. She knew that God was the one who saved sinners. She knew that God was the one that kept sinners. Look at verse 9. Hannah said, God will keep the feet of his saints. She knew some things, didn't she? Do you know these things? We're kept by the power of God. That's what the scriptures teach us. Through faith unto salvation. That's how believers are kept, by the power of God. If God saves you, can you be lost? Not if I'm kept by the power of God. If I'm not kept, then I was never saved. Because God cannot fail. Those saved are those kept. Don't you find comfort in that? Look what else she says. God will cause the wicked to be silent in darkness. God's going to stop every mouth so that all the world becomes guilty before him. Romans 3:19. Hannah said, for by man's strength shall no man prevail. Hannah knew that men are not saved, kept, and preserved by their own strength. Do you know what Hannah knew? And then look at verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Did you know that the Lord has adversaries? You know, everyone that is not a believer is an enemy of the Lord. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of God. That's what God says. And if you do not repent and trust in Christ alone, you'll be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge. That word means rule. He shall rule the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. God's in control, friends. Is that the God that you trust? Is that the God that you rest your soul upon? Who's the king that the Lord will exalt? Well, we know who that is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Do you know the God that Hannah knew? Do you believe the things that Hannah believed? Do you trust the Christ that Hannah trusted? Well, if you do, know this. He is the rock. His work is perfect. That's what you have to have before God, perfection. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Amen. May God teach us what he taught Hannah. I pray that he will. I'll rejoice with you if he does. Okay.